Thanks so much for doing this. This is Ryan, by the way.
Thanks for having me. And, what's up, Ryan?
Yeah,
and this is Jason.
What's up, Jason? What's going on, guys?
I picture you
guys.
I picture you rubbing Jason's hair like he's your, you know, like tussling you.
Yeah.
And then my wig falls off. I'm like, hey, Joe, you gave it away.
Wow, this is awkward, man.
And I go, yeah, it's really awkward. Your hands are covered in glue now. The wig wasn't settled.
Yeah, this guy smells like booze.
That thing looked real.
Hey, welcome to Joke Artists, episode 9. We did it. Woo! I'm Jason Katz.
And I'm Ryan Dever.
No. And have we got a guest today? No, really. Our guest today is Joe Gaudette. He's a master impressionist and an improviser, actor, comedian. He's just an overall hilarious guy that we are really big fans of. And I think both of us first discovered him on Vine years back.
Yeah. I mean, he's just so damn funny. Such an incredible voice actor. He's done work for DreamWorks, Hasbro, Disney, Pixar, Cartoon Network, NBC. He's just absolutely unbelievable at what he does. And his impressions, although we found out are 5% of what he does, his impressions, I mean, I've just never heard impressions like this before. He's just so good at all of them.
The impressions are dead on like the real people. Like, you can't tell the difference. And, you know, you've heard his voice in video games, television, movies, everywhere. He's done it all.
And here's a clip of his impression so you can get a taste of what you're about to get into.
Ooh, just a taste.
Yo, Doc! Sorry, Doc. I was hoping you could help me with this. Biff's on the cover of Time magazine. Are you trying to tell me that Biff is the president? No!
Yo, what's happening, man? It's your boy, Ice-T. Now, check this for a second. Roses are red, violets are blue. I've seen a lot of crazy perps and cats on Law & Order SVU.
Now, a lot of people know me and Will Ferrell do a lot of movies together, and he's a great guy, don't get me wrong, but he stole the last Go-Gurt from my trailer, so I grabbed him with my bare hands and just squeezed him until I got the Go-Gurt back.
Hi there, I'm Ryan Reynolds. In the streets, I'm Deadpool, but at home, I use a deadbolt. Because once that door's locked, I don't want to be caught doing something naughty.
So what I don't think many people understand is when I play different characters, whether it be Bruce Wayne or Batman, my accent goes in and out. Some people don't know exactly where I'm from.
Well, listen, first of all, you have to understand that everyone's always doing impressions of me. They get to the chopper and all these things. Do you have any idea how crazy it is? I can't even go to the bathroom without somebody going, hey, do the line from the Terminator. Stop it!
Well, there's only one thing left to say. Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, why don't we stop talking about him and start talking to him? What do you say, Jay?
It's almost like you've practiced that over and over again.
I'm not doing it again because we've done it 10 times.
From 1996, here's a hit.
Here's that interview. Joe, I got to say, we're so excited to have you on the show. We are such fans of yours, and especially going back to when I first discovered you on Vine years ago. I just used to die.
I was still working a regular job back then. Jesus.
Oh, really? Let's dive right into that. What were you doing while you were doing those awesome Vine videos?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been a voice actor for 15 years, but I didn't go full time until about 7 years ago. So it was like half the time was spent hustling and working. I did a bunch of different jobs. I mean, I was an analyst for an insurance company. I worked for FedEx. I waited tables a little bit. I stocked shelves at grocery stores. So it was just trying to get to the point where I am now. I can just survive on just voiceover alone. But Vine was just a great outlet to just screw around while I was at work and, you know, taking, you know, 55 minute bathroom breaks, legs falling asleep, not wanting to go back. Making Vine in like the mailroom and stuff like that. And like, yeah, it was just fun. And nobody checked it. I complained back then, but looking back at it now, I mean, I was a dream job. I would come in an hour late, take a 2 hour lunch, leave an hour early. And like, I did that for about 6 or 7 months. And then one of my supervisors was like, hey, Joe, can I talk to you for a second? I'm like, yeah, what's up? What are your hours? And then just, I'm always quick on my feet. I'm like, we had a meeting about this like 4 or 5 months ago. I would come in at this time, I'd leave at this time, and I don't take lunches. Like, we talked about that. Oh, okay. So, I mean, if you're confident in their face, like, oh, that's right, I do remember that. I'm like, wow, dodge that bullet.
All right, you're like, here's a video of you saying it, and you just do an impression of him. I actually didn't have a photo of you, but I have an audio of you if you want to hear it. Like, yeah. Oh, I don't remember saying that.
When
did I say something about you sleeping with my wife? Well, oh well.
So how did that transition? You had that job for about 6-7 months, and you're doing Vine, and what happens next?
No, I think I had that job for almost eight years. I had that job.
Oh.
So I mean, I just got to the point. Wow. I got to the point where I was just like hustling and doing voiceover nights and weekends and lying to my clients like, hey, listen, we have a lot of work. We will, we'll get that delivered tonight. And I would just run home, take the train home, get home, record it, send it out and be like, oh, I can't keep this up forever. So it was just marketing. I would market the crap out of myself and just call, you know, animation studios. I would DM them on like Instagram, Twitter, you know, I would use everything I could to my advantage to just kind of contact these people and build relationships with them and let them know who I was. And I got cast in a Saturday morning cartoon on NBC called Astro Blast while I was working that full-time job. So I had to lie to people. I was like, you know, I was using my vacation time, all my sick days. And they would say it's really weird because they would send like the company car to drive me from Back Bay in Boston to just outside of Boston to another recording studio. So I would get picked up in like limos and stuff and like SUVs from and everybody's like, where the hell are you going? Oh, it was just, you know, I had to lie because I couldn't tell them I got cast in it until it aired. And it was just so much BS. And then, you know, one thing led to another. My son was born and I'm like, I'm not raising a kid and showing him that like, oh, your dad's a loser working a desk job and not really following his dreams. So I just kind of, I quit that job and went full-time voiceover, and I'm lucky it worked out because, yeah, I'm having a good time.
Holy yeah, that's cow. Incredible. What led you to Vine, like, initially, right off the top?
I just think a bunch of my – I don't even know if it was my – it's so funny because it was so long ago, I can't remember. I think I might have just – you hear about it on Twitter or, you know, because the big boom has really happened in the past 5-6 years of – all the social media is just like blowing up, you know, TikTok is relatively new and it was Musical.ly before Musical.ly or wherever it was. And then I think I just downloaded it because you see it in the app store or something. I downloaded it and I'm like, wow, 6-second videos. And I met a lot of my good friends on there just creating. And some of these guys I'm really close friends with to this day. And many of us haven't even met in person. It's just because we're all connected via the internet now. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
We can all just kind of like send each other DMs. We talk on the phone all the time and we got like a messenger group chat going on. And it's just, it's fun to just, you know, I get creative with everybody.
It's just only 6-second conversations though.
Yeah. That's why I like the, you know, the Instagram and TikTok, cause you can do, you know, a minute or you can do like the Instagram. What's the long version of it? Instagram TV, IGTV. Which is cool. So, but, yeah, I just love the creativity of it all.
I know you said it was when your son was born, you kind of decided to make that leap. Do you remember kind of the first gig after you made that leap that you were like, okay, I'm going to be doing this. I can do this and I'm good at it.
I don't remember specifically because I remember like I had done stuff before I even like, you know, got that NBC cartoon. I was starring in a PBS cartoon. So it was like, but it was, I had the mindset of I have to audition and get an agent and all this stuff. And then I slowly realized you don't need one. If you can just be your own agent. I mean, I have 6 agents, but 98% of the work I bring in is on my own, just marketing myself. And I slowly realized, oh crap, it's a business. Let me treat it as a business. So now, you know, I'm up every day at 5:30. I'm answering emails before the kids got to go to school at like, you know, 7, they wake up. And so I'm planning my day and running my business. I have my studio time. I have my marketing time. I have my auditions, my recording sessions. So when I slowly realized, oh crap, that's it. Oh, you have to do that. So after that, I just started bringing on clients, doing a lot of like e-learning, a lot of explainer videos. And then I started to get the video games. Then I started to get more, you know, animated series and, you know, a lot of people were hiring me for my voice doubling stuff, which is crazy. So I'm like, oh, so there is money to be made as a career, because, you know, I've done that for years, but it wasn't until I was like, all right, let's treat it like a business. And then all the studios started contacting me without my agents. And I'm like, yes. Okay. Now how do I keep these people? And then you keep it like a Rolodex of them on an Excel spreadsheet. And I follow up with all these people once a month, see how they're doing. How can I help them? And I mean, it's customer service. And most people don't realize that that's what it is. They just think, oh, this dude just makes videos on TikTok. Yeah. But like, that's just like a side thing that I do for fun. It's like the real work is the behind the scenes that nobody sees. And I try to let people know that, you know, this is how it is. You know, you have to put in the time. It's not, I'm just going to do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression and get a million views. It just doesn't work that way.
Oh, we actually thought it was.
Yeah, dang it. That was our... That's no,
damn
we
it. That was it.
Well, can you say that again, but not that?
Yeah, exactly. I would show you exactly what to do, all right?
Arnold, I know that... But it's a good point. I think a lot of people don't realize that. Like you said, people think you just kind of put out a video and then sit and wait to hit that million. Did it take you a while to create that structure? Because I know a lot of people, maybe some stand-ups and some creatives... It does take them a while to figure out, all right, I do got to wake up at 5 or 6 or 7 and schedule my day.
I did that for years. I did that for years because that's what I was doing while I had the full-time job. I was waking up before I needed to, you know, maybe get a quick workout in, follow up with clients, because I had clients who were in England. So I'm like, all right, they're 5-6 hours ahead. I got to kind of wake up, do it like that, and I'd be on like double duty, my day job, checking that email, and then like on my iPhone, just going, all right, let me answer this guy's email and try to like, it wasn't until that I finally pulled the trigger and said, if I can just put all my eggs in this basket, I won't have to worry about that day job or whatever. And then it's just, like I said, it just took a while to click. And knowing what I know now, if I started back then knowing what I know now, I would have been so much further ahead. But, you know, it's hindsight is 2020. I'm happy where I am. I can't complain. I want more, but I mean, I'm grateful for what I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we're both very impressed by the amount of work you do and, you know, all the impressions and everything and your story. When you first got that big NBC gig, like, what was your initial reaction? Were you like, wow, like, this is, you know, I mean, I know you said the PBS before that, but when you're like, NBC, this is, you know.
Well, NBC was cool because it was like, they had the studio heads. We were doing table reads. I'm like, oh, this is.
Wow.
This is awesome. And then it wasn't until, I mean, because the casting process was, I mean, I got that picking up the phone and literally calling around and said, hey, and they answered the phone. I'm like, hey, my name's Joe Goddard. I'm a voice actor and I've done this. You weren't happen to be like having auditions for anything or do you keep like, you know, a little like spreadsheet somewhere where you have, you know, actors on file that you want to work with some. And they said, well, we happen to have an audition coming up. So I'm like, ooh, okay. So I did an audition from home, and then it was two or three auditions in person, and then the callback, and then you get cast, and then you show up to the first session, and they said, oh, the whole show has been recast. They didn't tell you? No. But you're still on it. I'm like, oh, thank you. So it was constantly tiptoeing around, like, oh, dude, am I really doing this? And you do 18 episodes, and then they said, you know, they have a meeting. Listen, the studio heads are loving what you're doing, but they have some issues with the voice. I'm like, okay, well, they want that voice, but they just want to take away the nasally. I'm like, oh, it was a real specific thing. Like, we just feel like we want to give the poor little mate a tissue. That's what we want to do. I'm like, wait, okay, so you just don't like the nasally? They didn't like the nasally in the voice. So I had to come up with a way to do that without the nasalness, and then I had to re-record 18 episodes. I'm like, I had to do an impression of myself. So I was doing all the ADR because they animated a lot of it. So it was just like, I still got paid for it, which is cool. But it's even doing that show, I was like, I wasn't like, oh, I made it. You know, I still don't feel it because everything gets, I've been part of big projects that get, you know, canned before they're even on. You can never announce it. And like, you're like, oh, this is it. And I'm like, I quickly learned to just do the job, collect the paycheck, move on to the next. Don't even think about anything because that's all. I mean, you just, if you dwell on it, it stresses you to no end. So you can't think about it. You want to, and then you realize, no, you probably shouldn't because you get your hopes up all the time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, absolutely. Did you want to be an actor or did you want to just strictly do voice acting?
everything. I mean, I started in like independent films and theater and, you know, some TV stuff. And I mean, I grew up in Boston, so there wasn't a huge opportunity for it, but I slowly realized, you know, I did some stand up, but I never went as myself. I went once as Joe Gaudette, and then I went every other time as a different name. So every time I'd sign up, I'd do like, I'd be working on, you know, like a 10-minute set, and I would do just a different name every time. So like the guys who would come to these open mics who would also do them with me, they were like, well, what the hell is this guy's name? I think he's ripping up Mike Delvecchio's stuff from last week. And like, I would dress as a different person every time. And I would try to work in the impressions. And I didn't fall in love with that. I loved being on stage, but I'm like, I felt happy doing the impressions on, you know, as far as stand-up goes, you know, even the impressions I do now, it's more of voice doubling. I get to, you know, voice double a lot of like other actors in like, you know, movie trailers and stuff, but like, that's like, they need it specific and it has to sound exactly like that person in the scene. That's why I'm like hesitant to like, be like, oh, I do impressions, but like, I'm an actor first. And it's so pretentious to say that, but like, I'm an actor first and foremost. I happen to do impressions and I, you know, on camera work was like my dream. And then I realized, you know, you don't have to move to LA. You can have a successful career doing voiceover. And, you know, now that the industry has changed so much in the past 10 years, I mean, I haven't left my booth in 6-7 years for a job or an audition.
Wow.
And it's great. I live, you know, in the farmland of Connecticut, and it's great. There's no street lights. It's not loud. It's not, you know, it's just relaxing. There's zero stress. And, I like this more. I really want to, you know, venture out into more on camera work in the future, but for now, I mean, I'm having fun. I can be anybody, you know, 5'9", 170 pounds.
Wow,
I can literally be anybody I want. That's why I like doing the Arnold stuff. That's why I like doing all the other different voices, because it's like you could be whoever you want to be with your voice.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing. I was always wondering, you know, how you decided that in your head. And I mean, you know, you pretty much kind of answered all that stuff, because I was wondering how you decided, okay, I'm really, really good at, you know, voice acting, and I want to do that and pursue that even, you know, more than, I guess, on camera acting or I guess maybe, or unless it just happened to be. But with the voice doubling, I completely understand what you're saying. Instead of doing impressions, you're doing like dead on versions of those people. I mean, I guess like what you're saying for like trailers. So like, if a trailer comes out and it has, a star curses in it and they want maybe a clean version of it, you might do something like that as well too, right?
Yeah. Because I mean, how many times you see a trailer and like, well, that line wasn't in the movie.
Right.
But you know, they do it a lot where the back is turned towards so they can get away with it. You don't see the lips moving, so they don't have to reanimate that. That's always a pain. But I mean, even with that stuff, I've been part of pitches. Directors have contacted me to help with a pitch, you know, for Arnold, and they send stuff to Arnold and they re-edit films that he's been in, and they have new lines and they cut a trailer and they'll have me come in and I'll voice Arnold in the trailer to sell the idea to Arnold. So they were, you know,
incredible.
I can't say what the movie was, but they were trying to, you know, they reanimated the lips and they had Arnold saying stuff he's never said before, and they try to pitch it to him. So that's pretty cool. It's like they use me as a secret weapon to get a movie pitched. I mean, he turned it down. He gave it a soft no. It wasn't a hard no. They were like, listen, he enjoyed it. He gave it a soft no. So still, I was like, well, how does
incredible.
That work?
When you do something like that, does he say, wow, that guy? He's like, no, I don't want to do it, but hey, that guy's really good.
He's heard of me. He's, I mean, not maybe my name, but he's seen, like, he's had to listen to stuff that I've done. Whether or not he likes it, whether or not he pre-approves it, that's beyond me. I have no idea. But I'm like, well, a soft no? How does he give a soft no? I'm like, was he like, shh, no, I didn't like it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm dying. Like, or a hard no? No. No deal. Like, what if he's like, I was dying when they were explaining that to me. I'm like, that's pretty funny.
That's a sketch in and of itself. Like, Arnold, that was still too hard. You have to go softer.
Soft no was Ryan's nickname in high school.
Soft no.
Like, he sends you an audio recording going, no.
No, I didn't like it. This is crap. But then me and my buddies, we have... It's on our Instagram chats and it's on our Facebook Messenger chats. we have like, we started like Arnold being, I started this whole thing. Imagine if Arnold was like afraid to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Cause you think like back when he was a kid, they had this Austrian monster that he chases people to the bathroom. And like, but it was like, we were all doing, we were doing Arnold whispering like, Maria, Maria, shh, Maria, I have to go to the bathroom, but I don't want to get out of bed. All right, count to three. One, two, three. Oh, and he goes to the bathroom and he sits down. He's like, oh, I feel great. Good. Oh, no. I'm out of toilet paper. No, and then the whole thing starts up. So, I mean, there's like, you know, 25. And then you wake up the next morning, you see all these messages from your buddy, and you have to like catch up on them. You have to listen to all these messages and go, oh. Do I want to go through them all now?
That's that hysterical. Is incredible. I'm crying. Mean,
that would be such an amazing video series of just like Arnold speaking out loud.
Well, we were trying to do it. We were trying to get an animator to do it. Feet. And we were like,
look at these toes. I mean, this is so funny.
But like, we were dying because we like, we could get it animated, but it would just, because if he's in bed crawling through the dark, we would just need like animated white eyes through a black background. That's all we would need. And we were right. Like, it'd be so funny. It'll be like so
the, like the old Pee Wee Herman style.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of. And yeah. So, but we were like, dude, it cost nothing to get animated, but, you know, we never did it.
Oh, my God.
I think there's Adobe Animator or Adobe Character Animator, just as a side note, and I think it does like a lot of stuff for you, and it uses your Zoom cam. I'm sorry, not the Zoom camera. It just uses your camera on your computer, and you can hook it up so it can mimic your face. So you could actually probably create that.
Yeah, my buddy Brock Baker, he does that a lot. He like sends us all these things he works on. I'm like, dude, this is hilarious. Where'd you get it? He's like, yeah, it's just a program, and that's how he's done like a lot of like cartoons for like, you know, YouTube cartoons. So I'm like, that's brilliant. Takes jobs away from animators, which sucks, but yeah. When you have no money and you're trying to do stuff, I'm like, oh, it works in a pinch.
Yeah, Brock's great. Yeah, he does a lot of really, really good funny stuff as well.
Yeah.
We're big fans of his as well.
Do you have a favorite impression? I know you're kind of, your Arnold is like your bread and butter.
Michael J. Fox has always been my favorite to do, I think, just because I grew up, I was like, I saw Back to the Future, I'm like, I want to do that. Like, not time travel, but like, I want to be like in movies and like, right, Doc, I want to time travel. Great. No, fine. Like, and it's just, it's that, I don't know. It's just so much fun to do. It's so much fun to yell like him. It's so much fun to, you know, I'm working on a deep fake right now that we're putting Michael J. Fox in a movie that I've always wanted to put him in. And I'm so happy we're doing it. We're recutting
a
movie. And I can't wait to release that with my
that's
friend.
Great. Yeah, I love hilarious. when you say bastard. I mean, that's just, it's hysterical because it just sounds literally like you're taking it from the movie.
Oh,
it sounds
bastards. Yeah, you gotta gotta go up. Doc, no, it's fine. Great, Doc. He I don't know if you guys saw Christopher Lloyd, I don't know, my buddy Josh Gates, he's on Expedition Unknown on Discovery. He was working with Christopher Lloyd a couple months back, and he sends me a message one day. He's like, hey, you got time for a FaceTime? I'm like, yeah, what's up? So FaceTime goes off. I'm like, Josh, what's up, buddy? He's like, hey, somebody wants to talk to you. And Christopher Lloyd grabs the phone, and I'm like, whoa,
no
wait.
Way.
It was Doc. I'm like, it's the Doc. And he's like, party, great. I'm like, Doc, what's going on? You look great. And he's it was just so cool. He was like, wow. I wasn't even like starstruck. It was just really cool. It was like, I respected the guy for so, like, I became an actor because of him and Michael J. Fox. I just seen their chemistry on screen. I'm like, man, that would be so cool to do. And he was just like, he was talking to my son. And my son, like, is that Doc? I'm like, yeah, it's Christopher Lloyd. And just, you know, he was doing all the lines from the movie. Like,
oh,
such a sweet dude.
That's unbelievable.
Cool, that's
and
so
like,
cool.
When I think of Christopher Lloyd, the two things I think is Back to the Future always, and then Roger Rabbit. And I always go,
yes.
What an awesome.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Like iconic character that doesn't get enough recognition. And if you watch Roger Rabbit now, I mean, he's so creepy and good in it. And also just another great character that he did.
Yeah, he was brilliant. So it was just so cool that he called. I'm like, wow, that just made my year, dude.
Man.
2020's been crap. And this is like, whew.
And I mean,
so
him
cool.
Him hearing your impression of it, of Michael J. Fox, probably also blew him away too. Because I mean, it's, again, it's just so spot on.
Well, that's what Josh said, but I'm like, how many times did those guys hear those voices? They go to a Comic-Con. How many times have people come up to Christopher Lloyd, hey, Doc,
Doc, how you doing, Doc?
Yeah.
Like, I've got to go back to the future, Doc. Shut up. Shut up.
Less nasally, please.
Right. And he goes, oh.
Right, you're the Doc, Doc. Like, you know, it's so funny. It's so, but I'm like, I don't think I'd ever do, like, voices to the people. It's just weird. Because even stuff I do, you know, I'm known for a bunch of characters in the fan base. Just, you know, they don't call me my name. They just call me the characters. I'm like, ah. It's like, my ego goes, but my name's Joe. And then, but to them, I get it. But it's just like, it's their first time asking. It's my millionth time hearing it today. And, you know, my DMs are just crazy with, like, message requests. And I used to respond to every single fan. Like, I would take the time every night to respond to everybody.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
It just got creepy because if I respond to you, it doesn't mean we're best friends, gang. It doesn't mean we're best friends.
It's like, you got so I invited Joe over for Thanksgiving this year. Great guy. Also, you know, I didn't technically invite him over. We're showing up to his house with the stuff, but we're great friends, so it'll be fine. He won't mind.
Well, it's funny. We had Mark Summers on, and he was kind of saying the same thing that I mean, he's just a great guy. That, you know, you want to be the good guy and you want to get to everyone. You really do. But eventually you have to draw the line. You have to say no. And then you're immediately the jerk because you drew the line. But it's like you're not trying to be a jerk.
No, it's a crappy feeling because I've come across like a jerk to fans before, not even realizing, like just joking or just kind of being funny and like, wow, that Joe got, that's a real jerk. I'm like, oh. And then you end up going to like sleep feeling like crap that night. And then you roll over in bed, check that person, look at their profile, see like, oh man, what did I say? But then you eventually got to realize you can't please everybody. And then, but I like to, I don't want people to think I'm a jerk. You know, I have my bad days too. And we all do, but it's that is a crappy feeling to get to that point and, you know, just I just want to be cool to everybody, and I'm not going to be cool to everybody. I know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ryan and I want to be known as jerks because we want actual anybody to know us, so we don't care if it's they know us as being a jerk or just
we're trying not to get famous. Very hard. In fact, it's working.
Well, with cancel culture, I mean, did you hear what Joe said? Did you hear it right? Like, no, like, well, Jason said this. Yeah. Well, no, it's. You took it out of context, and I said it 13 years ago when I was like 10.
Yeah, but 13
stupid.
Years ago. I mean, that matters today. And you're like, why?
Well,
it's a weird, silly time, and it's a silly also topic whenever we discuss all that stuff like that.
Because people also, it's odd what people think makes you a good person to begin with. Like, you know, I've run into friends that are like, I met so-and-so. I'm like, oh, cool. What were they like? And they're like, oh my God, they were so nice. I saw them in the street. I said, hey, I'm a big fan. They said, thank you so much. And then I'm like, all right. And then what else happened? And they're like, that was it. They were just so kind. I'm like, well, that doesn't mean anything. Like, okay, that was nice of them to say hi, but that doesn't mean they're like amazing.
Right.
And then, you know, then that same person would be like, oh, they were so terrible. I said, I'm a big fan. They said, thanks so much. And then they walked away.
They didn't stay for a half hour and invite me
to
around.
Yeah, like, he didn't kiss me.
And I've been through airports with other friends who are like famous and, well, with friends who are famous, not other, like, besides myself, I know I've never gotten recognized in the street, which is fine by me. But, you know, number one,
that's
all wear
surprising.
Masks now. But, like, number two, nobody's ever recognized me on the street.
Well, I guess, I mean, if you are living in Connecticut in the middle of nowhere, like you said, then I guess there isn't many people on the street.
Even, like, when I go to New York City. You know, I've been in New York City a few times to do some pilots, like, you know, in the past, you know, whatever. And nobody's ever recognized.
Oh, that's surprising.
But, you know, you go through airports with, you know, famous friends. I'll do Comic-Cons and, you know, we'll all hang out. We'll get to take a flight together or whatnot. I mean, I just keep going. Nobody notices me. And everybody's, you know, can I get your autograph? Hey, can I get a picture? I'm like, how do you do it? He's like, that's just, you know, it's just part of the job. What are you going to do?
Right.
And it's just frustrating to them. I get it, but no, thank you.
But you do appearances, you know, as well, right? I mean,
those are fun.
Yeah.
Those are fun, but it's not like, I'm not like a big draw. I get, you know, I'm there for a certain fan base and I get that. Like, but it's, I don't have a manager for cons. I pitch myself to the producers of the convention. Again, it comes back to just hustling. I, you know, pitch myself. I show them, you know, this is, these are all the games and the animated series I've been a part of and all this stuff. And they're like, okay, yeah, we got room for you. This, you know, we'll pay you there. And they fly you out, they give you food.
That's the amazing part.
You literally don't pay. It's great. And I get to meet people. That's like my favorite thing. I like to meet the fans. I like to talk to them. I want to learn about them. Like, what do you like about what we do? What don't you like so we can improve on it? It's just, it's a good excuse to go meet people and, you know, put some smiles on people's faces and you know, get out there. It's just, it's better than sitting in a booth all day. You know, it gets lonely. So it's like, people, hey.
Yeah. I mean, it must be, it's got to be really, really gratifying to see these fans of yours, you know, who hear your voice or recognize your voice from this cartoon or this video game or this show, and just seeing them in person. You know, it's, and since, you know, you're such like a talented and big voice actor, versus, you know, like a screen actor, people being able to see you and put that face to the voice, I feel like it always sometimes weirds me out when like, oh wow, that's the person who does that. And then for you to be on the other side and people to see you, it must feel good though. You know, it's got to feel good for the fans to be able to see you.
Great. But it also comes back to like, they don't recognize me unless I have the banner behind me with my face next to all the characters. So you sit there like, you know, you sometimes feel like a dog in the window that people are just kind of browsing. Like, do I want you? No, and it's there. Like, I'm next to like some big names and like, you know, I'm there. There's a bunch of Walking Dead people. And then there's me. It's like, nah, I'm good with him. Oh my God, can I get your, can you hold the camera? Yeah, okay, I'll hold, yeah. Say cheese.
Yeah, but we've spoke to Rob Paulson, right? And he has, I think, a similar sort of thing. And you know, he's done, again, some major cartoons, you know, in my lifetime, you know, from Animaniacs and Ninja Turtles. And I feel like he might, again, I don't know, but he might get the same sort of thing. But then when people do realize who you are, then they're like, oh,
yeah, then
wow.
Their face, like, oh, my God.
Their face nearly explodes.
Oh, yeah.
It's because
it's weird. It's a surreal thing.
Yeah, it's because it's a
just
mystery.
A job. It's just a job we did for, you know, an hour. It was an hour out of our time, and we went on to the next project. And you never know. You do something, and then the internet blows up, and like, oh, wait, you did this. This guy. And I mean, I did Five Nights at Freddy's video game a few years ago, and I had never heard of Five Nights at Freddy's. Never heard of it. You'd see them, you know, you'd walk by Target and you see some of the figures on the ship, but I didn't know what it was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I get cast. And as soon as I got cast, all the fans heard about it and they start, you know, I just got all these followers and like, holy crap. I had no idea how big this franchise was. And that kind of like put me on the next level in terms of like the fandom, you know, it hasn't really like, you know, it's nothing to brag about. It's a video game. I'm very proud of the work I did, but it, you know, it was one of those things. I have never played the game. I've never, you know, watched any of the stuff. It's like, I'm like, I feel just weird sometimes because I don't really watch the stuff I do. I don't listen to it. I record it. I had fun because it's acting. And then that's the gratification I get. And then you get paid on top of that, which is awesome. You go on to the next job and then you find the next work. And then,
it makes sense.
You know, I do love it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because you know, again, you're an actor and that's your job. Your job is to do that, not like, you know, fall in love with one of the characters. It's to move on to the next one. But the special place is always when those fans, again, can see you and put that voice to the thing. I just remember, like, you know, I'm a giant fan of The Simpsons and whenever I, you know, search YouTube or whenever I, even before YouTube, and I'd find out who did the voice for what, and I'm like, what? No way. That's what that person looks like. And it's just one of those feelings that you're like, no way. I grew up watching this. So now the people who grew up playing Five Nights at Freddy, like, you know, will, if they don't know you right now, eventually, you know, they would grow up to find out who did it. And then even as they get older and have their own kids and have them play the game, they will also get to know you and then, you know, may see you at wherever. And then, you know, get to put that voice with the face, and they'll also be, you know, really surprised and excited to see you. And I think, you know, that's just such a big deal, and also the free food that you get from all the events.
Well, that's that's the.
I don't want to overshadow that.
It's the free food, and it's the honestly, it's like the faces when their parents come up to me, because a lot of that fan base is you know on the younger side. They're not driving themselves to go to the cons and their parents.
Sure.
And you see their parents shelling out all this money for like autographs, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like to see that their kids are into something, and then seeing the parents supporting the kids. That's what just, that blows me away. It just makes me feel so good. And to just, to, you know, it's the appreciate, I mean, everybody likes to be appreciated, but just to know that, like, I was somewhere that somebody got to smile because, not because they met me, just because they got to have that experience. And their parents always come up to me thanking me for the experience. And it's like, well, that's why we do it. You know, yeah, you get paid for being there, but that's not the reason why we're there. We're there to put smiles. We're entertainers. We just want to put smiles on people's faces, let them forget about the you know the crappy stuff in the world, and that's it. We're not curing cancer or anything. It's just you know, it's really fun, and that's the gratifying thing I get. And then that's the way I have to remember that every time you know I do something as me, and the people just go, well, what would Mr. Hippo say about that? Or oh, Mr. Hippo dropped the F bomb. I'm like, well, no, Joe. Joe Gaudet dropped the F-bomb. Mr. Hippo, number one, I would never like do anything to jeopardize that fan base and that you know, franchise, because I'm not going to drop the F-bomb or and any of the characters that wouldn't drop the F-bomb, you know, unless, you know, it called for that. But it's that's the only, I think that's the only frustrating thing that gets to me. But then it's just like, dude, just check your ego. Shut up. Shut up and enjoy it. Like, but
you know. And the free food.
And the food. You cannot forget about the food.
Tell us more about that food, Joe. So, were they bagels or salads?
I mean, and they'll take like Starbucks orders. And I'm like, really? Ooh. And then I'm just like, you know, just give me a grande. I'm not going to go with the venti. Just small and just maybe like a sandwich. Like, I don't want to be that guy. But when Chick-fil-A catered, I'm like, give me like 20 sandwiches.
I'll take five.
I mean, you're in the green room. You can literally grab whatever you want. It's amazing.
Right. And I'm just ever get caught grabbing too much?
Six honey mustards.
What are they going to say? I got the celebrity badge on. Come on. Do you even know who I am? You know, I'm really
Leave your
Arnold.
Chicken in your
Arnold
bag.
Actually just, he's the body double. I double.
You've been doubling as his voice this entire time. He really sounds like, hey guys, I'm Arnold. But it's been you for the whole.
You go up to Arnold. And I'm just sitting next to him like a ventriloquist. Yeah. I mean, this is fantastic. I mean, you could be here. You're the Bobby Bill here. And then I take a sip of water and you hear, that's fantastic.
It's one of those bad '90s dates.
Let me tell you something. We're going to bodybuild. First of all.
I mean, first of all, it's great.
And we're like, we knew it.
Richard Simmons?
I could have called that.
Yeah. But all that makes me think of, to your point before about, you know, it's just to see the support and how it makes other people feel, what your voice does and the characters you portray. And again, I don't know too much about the app, so maybe you could talk on it, but that kind of makes me think of what you do and what people celebrities do on Cameo, where you can go and seek someone like yourself out and say, hey, you know, would love to send a pick me up to a buddy of mine. And he, you know, he loves your Arnold, or he loves your Marty McFly.
Yeah.
And you like it can't feel any more personal than that. That
well,
I'm sure you get some silly messages, it seems so cool that someone would choose you as their, like their Graham, like their candy Graham.
It's really cool. You know, it's real. And like, they're like, dude, have at it. Just, you need some motivation as Arnold. And like, you can say literally whatever you want. Sometimes you go overboard. And it's great, but like other times, like I'm growing a beard right now, so it's like the AI on the technology and all the deepfake stuff that I put on my face, it won't pick up my face properly, so I put that on the back burner. But I used to do like custom messages for people as Arnold, and like when I have a clean shaven face, it morphs to my face perfectly, so I could just do whatever I wanted as Arnold and pump people up and do. It's like, it's fun. It's because you get to pretend to be somebody else. Obviously, they couldn't afford something from Arnold, so they'll afford something from, you know, Arnold Light. So it's great.
Arnold Light.
More Arnold than Arnold.
Yeah. I mean, it is half the calories, half the fat seems to be twice as much. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
That's my slogan.
That's Diet Arnold.
Yeah. I mean, if it is half the fat, I guess we could eat twice. He's right.
Yeah.
Well, it is funny. Do you find that the technology evolves your impression itself?
Because, yes,
you know, exactly. The deep fake stuff.
Yeah. 100%. Because, like, I had a new station in an NBC station in Vermont. They did a story on me and they wanted to know about, you know, my thoughts on deep fake, which, it's very disturbing and scary what can be done with the stuff. And they have AI for voice. But if that's not there, you can still tell it's synthesized and it's a computer. There's no human emotion behind it. On the inflections and the pausing, it still sounds fake. But I believe, just as, you know, Andy Serkis as Gollum and Mowgli, they use those motion captures. So you have mocap actors. I really think they're going to have deep fake actors in the future.
Right? Oh, for sure.
Somebody who can physically do the voice and the performance and the mannerisms, because stuff like that can't be faked yet. They're going to have, you know, eventually Arnold's going to die. We're all going to die.
What?
If you want legacy characters. If I know, you didn't know that?
Oh, my God. Oh.
Joe, we weren't going to tell him.
Thanks a lot, Joe. This interview's over.
I'm going to start it early.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Jason's dead.
We can't die. It's blank.
Yeah. What's all that cheering in the back?
Oh, God. But, no, I mean, like, they're going to have legacy characters. Obviously, they're going to, I know for a fact, they'll continue with the Terminator franchise and stuff like that. And they're going to want to have Arnold in different stuff. So people like me could be hired to kind of take that legacy on. Obviously, I'm never going to be 6'2", 225 pounds pure muscle. That's just not going to happen. But I can do the mannerisms. And that comes back to the deepfake. Seeing it on your face, it doesn't necessarily act as a crutch to sell the impression. It enhances the impression. Because when I'm dressed up as Marty McFly with Michael J. Fox's, you know, face on mine, I can do the mannerisms. I can talk about November 5th, 1955. And all the eyebrows go up and the head tilts and the hands are like, it completes the whole character. And that's what's so, fascinating about the whole deepfake. It's just, it just brings you in a whole new realm of possibility.
Right. Cause I mean, before it's like, you know, everyone would always say, oh, if you close your eyes, it sounds like you're with, you know, Michael J. Fox or this person, that, cause you know, we didn't have that technology. But I remember you had done you used to do a Bill Paxton Vine series where you used like this face morph that would make your mouth and forehead so big.
Right. It was just so crappy, but
that made it better.
Oh yeah. And then I would just do Bill Paxton's like one of my favorite actors of all time. He's just,
oh my God.
Oh, he's just, the impression was so exaggerated, but that's what made it fun. It wasn't until
That's what I loved about it.
It was just like, oh, me and Helen Hunt. Oh, our chemistry on stage and on film, you can cut that shit with a knife, man. Like, and you'd watch it and you'd be like, oh, God. But then I saw Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe was very close with Bill Paxton. I saw him do an impression on Joe Rogan talking about Bill Paxton. And it Rob Lowe was doing Bill Paxton. He was, I think, great. He came talking about Titanic. And he brought him all the way down like that. And I'm like, that is Bill Paxton. It's not always yelling, game over, man. Oh, Jim's taking me down to see Titanic. We go next Thursday. And that's how he kind of sounded in True Lies.
So that's like, my favorite, right?
Do a Bill Oh, my God, True Lies is so good. The vet gets him wet. And what about their husbands? Dickless. It's basic, man. If they take care of business, I'd be out of business. What an idiot.
Oh my God.
I love that. That's one of the best. That's one of my favorite Arnold movies. Oh, it's so funny.
It really is one of the best movies.
That and Last Action Hero, I think.
Oh my God.
It's so underrated.
I'm Arnold Braunschweiger.
Yeah.
but that's a great point about Bill Paxton. Do you ever find that you're. trapped in a specific tone of, of an actor.
Yeah, no, it,
you
it,
know,
it,
like, oh, I can only do them monotone, or I can only do them yelling.
The same thing. Yeah, Tom Hanks, I have to do exaggerated Tom Hanks. It's a very, and that's a hard thing to do. Steve Carell is the same thing. I wish I could do a really good Steve Carell, but I just do the angry. I don't like it, and you get stupid, like over the top, like Tom Hanks. No. You shut up, Bud. And that's all I can do. I can't do the well, that's my mission. I can kind of do like low Tom Hanks, but I can't. So you got to pick what are your strengths of that and kind of emphasize that to sell the illusion on that. There's, you know, there's all tricks to use.
Is there also, do you ever find that you're like, all right, I got it. Like I finally mastered this one, but then there's a few words specifically that you just can't use those words with that voice. You can't find the voice in certain words.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say refrigerator as Tom Hanks, or I can't say basket.
There was one, what was I trying? I was trying to say library. What was it? Library. I think it was library with as Arnold. I couldn't, and when I have to say library with Arnold, I have to say it slow. I want to go to the library. I want to go to the library. So I go, oh, biblioteca. All right, you go there. Like, so I have to like get my point across in another way. So yeah, there's words that trip me up that I just can't, you know. And I'm from Boston, and like if I'm back in Boston at a bar, this is exactly how I'm going to sound. Like I have a thick Boston accent if I'm not hiding it, you know. So it's that comes out a lot in like commercials. That when I'm, you know, I had a session yesterday in my normal voice, and I kept saying like bottle or car. I forget what I said. It was one of those I could
really
not, and it sneaks out, and when I try to hide it and I try to over you know pronounce things, it comes out Canadian. So that, and it's just really weird. So and that's the problem with doing all these stupid voices. Sometimes I'm like, ah, crap, all right, what's normal? Get down to normal voice. This is how I usually sound when I'm pronouncing my R's. And now this is how I sound. Okay. And then you have to start over and recalibrate everything.
Wow.
It's, you know, I did, I was hired to do all like the Batman Begins casino games because Christian Bale wasn't available. So they hired me.
Wow.
And I was talking like Christian Bale for 2 or 3 days straight. Hi, this is Bruce Wayne. I was sort of talking like this. Alfred, I'm Batman. So I was, you had the sibilance. Hi, this is Bruce Wayne. It's a character, and I started. So I had a lisp, so I couldn't get rid of that
right.
lisp. So I had to like not talk for like 2 days. It was over the weekend. I kind of just, you know, was just relaxing my mouth because, you know, I don't know if it was fatigue or my tongue was cramping up. It was really annoying. I couldn't stop talking like it. And yeah, so like,
wow,
it becomes a problem sometimes. I mean, it's never been like debilitating, but. You know, I have to constantly think if I'm just doing my normal Boston accent, I don't have to think at all, you know, and then you have to do maybe 20% thinking, pronouncing the R's. And then when you go do a character voice, then you're going to be like 100% thinking as that. So it's mentally, it's exhausting, but if you do it enough, it becomes second nature.
Well, what's interesting about that is your impression that I've heard that's on your website, actually, one of your reels. Of Christian Bale, the joke you make in that impression is that people can't tell what nationality he is because sometimes he speaks very American with an American accent, then he slips into his I think
he's English.
What is he,
he's English.
I don't even know.
He's English.
English.
Yeah.
But do you so,
but yeah, it's,
right. But you yourself, so that happens to you.
All,
you kind of,
all the time.
In your everyday life, you're like, wait a minute, I'm not speaking like Joe.
Right,
I'm,
and that's why, like, when I had that Mr. Hippo character in Five Nights at Freddy's, I was like, all right, I forget the description. Like, he sounded like an old grandfather just rambling. And every guy in Boston, I grew up, hey, Joseph, what's going on there, brother? How you doing, buddy boy? Who are you? So I, you know, I did it like this, and it was sort of Boston. It was sort of, you know, New York. And he would say, you know, it was Thursday. I took him to the doctors on Thursday. Thursday, it's more New York, you know. But if I was going to go down there yesterday, Tuesday, I went to the barbershop on Tuesday. That's like a Boston thing. So I would mix it. So it doesn't matter what because if I'm playing another character, Joe Gaudette isn't messing up. That character's messing up. So there's a comfort to that. So that's why I enjoy playing the other characters, but me, because you're hiding behind it. It doesn't matter if they screw up. Nobody else knows. You know, so there's you know, it's a constant, you know, mind, you know, exercise of, I have to think. And that's why if I'm just like relaxing with my buddies, I don't have to think. All right, you got to drop the Boston accents because nobody's going to understand you half the time. So it's it's not stressful, but it's just one of those, an extra thing I got to think of, you know, especially in the industry. Nobody's going to hire me because I mean, when I first started, oh, everybody's a Boston accent. I mean, that's good. That's who I am. Like, what are you, Ben Affleck? No, like, stop. Like, you know, which I'm a big Ben Affleck fan. I wanted to be him when I was a kid. So it was just like, all right, now why don't you be a big boy and learn how to do stuff on your own. Oh, okay. I got it. Okay.
And speaking of that, like, do you ever sort of take, you know, any of those, it's funny because I don't want to call them impressions because they're more than that, but I guess I'm going to have to. But do you ever take any of those impressions?
No, that's fine.
And have you ever, like, you know, answered the phone when a telemarketer has called or sort of stuck in that impression?
I do it to Arnold every day. If I know it's a telemarketer, because you can see the number, I always I go, hello, this is Arnold. How can I help you? And there's nothing. And you just hear, like, silence. And I always say, Maria is a deal. And this is baby. You know, I do stuff like that. But it's just like half the comments I get on like the impression videos, you got to go to the drive-thru and do the, I'm like, I'm 36 years old, guys. I got other stuff to do. I'm not going to be that one man doing 30,000 impressions in under, you know, 5 seconds. That's not my thing. And I don't want to just make YouTube videos. Like I want to work. Not to say that YouTube video isn't working. I'm just saying, but like I have other stuff I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I was just always wondering if you did that or like, you know, called up a restaurant or anything like that. I've done it twice.
I've gotten a table in New York City as Ice-T, and I've gotten a table as Arnold. But I never go, yo, what up, man? This is Ice-T. Do me a favor, man. My friend Joe Godet's coming. Do me a favor, man. Hook him up with a table, all right? And then you do that. But like, but man, that cat's going to take care of the bill, man. He owes me one. So like, I'll take care of the bill. Because I'm not going to use for free food, but
no way.
And I've called.
So that worked.
Oh no! The Arnold one was, I forget what restaurant it was, but I was like, "Hi, my name is Michael Delvecchio. I'm the personal assistant to Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're in town. We're shooting a promo thing for NBC. We're going to be coming in. We can't make it, but a friend of his. Could you maybe give him a table? His name is Joe Godet. And actually, hold on for a second, okay?
Yeah, what does he want?
Can you just talk to him for a second?
Yeah, sure. Hi, listen, this is Arnold. And my friend Joe is coming in tonight with his wife. Do me a favor, give him a table. It doesn't have to be the best one, all right? Just, you know, do it.
And I just do that quick, and then I show up. Hey, how's it going? You know, they treat you like, they don't give you anything extra, but it's
no way.
I've done that once. But it's just like, that's harmless.
That is
stuff.
Incredible.
I'm not going to exploit the guy, but, you know, or in bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
I do that every now and then. Like, in bathroom. Last time I was in LA, I've only been to LA once, so I was in the bathroom. I forget where we were in some Beverly Hills hotel, and I'm in there, and like a bunch of people came in, and then I was just like, oh, I can't believe I had the worst diarrhea. It is, you know, it's like, just to see if you get a laugh out of somebody.
You see, next day on TMZ.
Oh my God, Arnold is at the Beverly Hilton right now, and he has massive diarrhea. And you show up,
and
like,
he's announcing it.
TMZ is outside.
Yeah.
Arnold, how's the diarrhea?
I mean, it's very wet. I've wiped like 18 times, and it's not stopping.
He's yelling at his own ass. Stop it.
Cork it.
Stop it. Come on.
Oh my God.
It awesome. Makes it asleep. I cannot stand up. Let me try to stand up.
I wish I was in that bathroom so bad.
Oh my God. That's incredible. I'm also dying laughing at the thought of if you called the restaurant as Ice-T and then showed up as yourself and still spoke that way. Like, it's me. It's your boy.
I did that to Gucci. I never showed up, though. I did it to Gucci when I lived in Boston. The Natick collection was this big, you know, mall, but they had really high end. They had like Gucci. And I'm like, yo, what up, man? We're shooting, you know, seeing that mono to SBU. And I'm like, could I get some clothes? And like, because Gucci, they have all custom. Like, they don't actually keep clothing in store, but they can ship it from like the New York store, wherever it was. Yeah. And I didn't know that. So they're like, you know, we'll shut the store down and blah, blah, blah. And I felt bad after I hung up. So I called like 20 minutes later as the personal assistant saying, listen, we had something fall through. We're going to end up shooting in Manhattan. We really apologize. Cause like, I'm thinking, what if they shut down the store and one of their like employees came to meet Ice-T? Maybe they got into a car accident on the way there. Like I just have too much of a conscience and
your mind.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, right. It's, you know, harmless prank calls is one thing, but not, not a
right. But when you show up, you could have always said, it is me, Ice-T, but I C E D T E A.
Ice-T.
And you technically like, didn't lie. You know, and you technically didn't lie. You'd say, hey, you were.
I changed my name. I have a buddy at the DMV who just gave me a new license really quick. I spent so
That'd
much
awesome.
Money just for a joke. And I'm stuck with the name Ice-D. Yeah.
And you were like, hey, you guys were under the impression that I was Ice-T. That's on you.
Yeah. Man, that's on God. You. And damn, Woody, stupid. And cat's crazy.
The Ice-T, it kills me. I remember you had a video recently of doing a bunch of impressions, but potty talk, and you were like, you went poo poo on my pee pee.
People get so mad at that. They're like, why do you always talk about poo poos and pee pees? I'm like, because it's funny. It's called it's called jokes. Like I literally just put, my wife got so mad at me. I was doing like, and now things Arnold would never say, but I'll say him because I can do his voice. And my wife is off to the side and she just yells poop. Like just being funny because she's like trying to mess me up. And I was like, I have the sudden urge to stick my dick on the stove right now. And she got so mad. And I posted it because my facial expression, she goes, as soon as I posted, why do you do things like that? Because it's funny. Like, I don't work at a place that somebody's going to get mad at that. Like, that's, you think I'm not going to get hired in a Coca-Cola commercial because I was Arnold Schwarzenegger saying I want to stick my dick on a stove? Yeah. I don't think so. No.
If anything, you get more from it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you get laughs from it and then more gigs. It's
as long as you
it's funny because people misinterpret it.
Yeah, no,
you know,
exactly.
They're like, hey, wait a second. Are you telling me you got work from saying stick your dick in a stove? Damn it. You know, and you're like, well, yeah, I did.
Now,
sign me up.
Pick up Coca-Cola. You're yeah. retailer today.
It's great. I remember one time me and my buddies, we saw Ice-T in a Burger King years ago in Manhattan. It was a very long time ago. We were kids back then. And my friend said, I'm going to call him Puff Daddy, because that's when he was called Puff Daddy at the time. And he kept calling him that till he got mad. And he's like, yo, man, stop calling me that. And he was like, what? Can I get your autograph, Puff? I forgot what he said. It was something along like that, but he was so mad. It was him and Coco were there.
He's like, do I look like I'm flexing my rolling, waving my rolling in the sky, waving side to side while I keep my hand high? No, yeah. I don't think so.
And I go, wait, that was, now I'm confused.
And then he's like, Puff Daddy, why are you at Burger King? And he's just like, man, more money, more problems, man. Good stuff is cheap anyway.
And then he looked into a camera that wasn't there. And I was like, oh. Yeah.
And he did a self-freeze frame.
He froze frame till they brought in a stretcher and wheeled him out. He didn't die. He was alive, but he was frozen in time.
Well, a quick question about, I know circling back to the beginning, but when you said that stand-up, you just didn't really feel the love for it. And it's interesting because I feel like there are so many people that get on stage with good impressions, and they're just like, this is going to be my act.
Yeah,
and they don't realize you got to write.
Yeah, and I wrote some funny bits, but it's just like, I my mind was just like, just do the impressions. And I'm like, I mean, I always wanted to be on SNL, so the impressions would be cool. But then I'm just like, I don't want to limit myself because, like, I'm an actor. I can act. Like, I don't want to just be that dude doing impressions. And people, you know, always ask me, I mean, I do really good impressions. How do I get into voiceover? I'm like, probably like 5% of the work I do as a voice actor is impressions or like voice doubling. Like most of the work I do is in my own voice. And, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole myself, but like, you know, people see me on TikTok, they're just like, oh, this guy does impressions and sketches and stuff like that. And they just think that's what voiceover is. And that's just not the case.
Wow, because I know, I mean, Jason does some voiceover work too. Yeah. So, I never really talked to him about it because this is the only time we speak to each other. But
yeah, Ryan and I don't speak outside of this podcast.
No.
Second this is over, that's it. Radio silence completely. Yeah.
This is all Joe,
I want to thank you for getting Ryan and I together.
Oh, man, you're welcome. That's what I do.
But when you audition, do you send both? Do you send your reel of your impressions and kind of commercials you've done or
like
shows or
just
games.
Auditions, I just send obviously the audition reads, but like in terms of like marketing and trying to get people like
marketing.
I ask them like, well, which demos do you want? I'll just send my commercial demo. And that's usually what they want. And you know, in my email signature, it has all my details. So if they want to look, they'll just click on it and go, oh wow, there's Kyle.
Gotcha.
You know, cause I don't want to oversell myself. I don't want to be like, hey, I also do this. It's one of those things, like, they want it, they'll, and I mean, a lot of, and this is a good tip for anybody listening, a lot of the work that I get, one of my biggest clients, I took one of their commercials, and I downloaded it, legally, of course, wink, wink, and I dubbed it over. It was like, they did a Doritos commercial, and I dubbed it over as Arnold commentary. So I just did, just like,
that's great.
And just recording, like, I mean, this guy's eating Doritos. He's absolutely going to get diarrhea. And then he's got white pants. He's going to wipe all of the dust all over there. So, and they thought it was funny. And they were like, wow, what else do you do? And then they realized, and like, that's one of my biggest clients. And they send me work all the time. So you got to think outside the box how to get work and not just rely on the auditions or the casting sites or whatever. So,
gotcha.
That's fantastic.
So it's kind of like jazzing up your resume in a way,
exactly.
Presenting it in a different way. And
yeah.
Wow. Oh,
get your foot
cool.
in the door like that.
I do want to ask you about video games. So, like, you're getting these video games and, like, Five Nights and Family Guy. Family Guy, correct. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
Yeah, it was Family Guy, the Quest for Stuff. It's like, you know, they're like a mobile game. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So you're getting these things. And what's that like? Were you a big video game fan at some point in your life?
Yeah, I mean,
did you ever play video games?
Yeah.
And were you like, wow, to be a part of them?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought about it as a kid. I think the last time I owned a video game console was Wii. It was a Nintendo Wii, and I think it was like back in like 2009. Like, I don't play video games. Like, I mean, it's not that I'm not a gamer. It's just, A, I don't have time, and B, I just like,
yeah.
It just, I mean, it interests me, but I just like, it's not something, it's not a priority. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, eventually we'll probably get one because, you know, my kids are getting old. I got, you know, my son's 6, my daughter's 4. So like, he's getting to the point where he's just going to want something. So, but like,
right.
I never thought
right.
about it. And video games are fun, but it's not like the fun people think. It's very repetitive. Recording them. It's because you don't know the context in which you're reading. You're just reading a big spreadsheet with line after line after line in some direction. And are you just going like, hey, let's take a walk in here and see what we can find. No, this key's not going to open that door. Let's try the window down the hall. So like you're constantly saying these things. You don't get why you're saying them. You say it every which different
right.
way. And then at the end of the session is all the yells and the grunts. Like I do like, I've done like a lot of military apps. And Mech Warrior 5 Mercenaries was like the last like console game. It was just so much yelling. You know, it was a British soldier, you know, talking like this the whole time, mate. And, you know, gravelly and grow, doing all this. And then at the end, you know, we got to go, mate. Let's go. And like, you're yelling. And the voice is constricting enough. And then you got to do all your yells and screams.
Man.
And that is just like, But. It still beats sitting in a freaking cubicle, like wanting to blow your brains out. So.
Sure.
yeah,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Get to yell. I mean,
yeah.
that's what
yeah.
everyone in the cubicle wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to pretend to blow your brains out in a video game. But no, have your kids, like, do they know exactly what you do? Or are they too young right now?
No, they do, but they see, like, when I walk down the hall of the recording studio, they're like, oh, you going to the studio? Yeah, yeah. Are you going to record? You want us to be quiet? I mean, you don't have to be real quiet because the booth, you know, deadens all the sound, but kind of go to the other end of the house if you're going to be running and like
right.
throwing stuff. But they get it, but they kind of do. They kind of don't. They know that I do voices, but like I also don't walk around the house doing voices all day. Like dad just does his thing in the booth and he comes out and one or two times, you know, a voice might come out that I'm just like working on just because. You know, you're just practicing something.
Right.
But I think, you know, people just think I go around the house just doing voices all day. And it's just, I mean, I'm dad and I'm Joe, you know, half the time pissing my wife off anyway. So the voices, you know, I don't need the voices, but like, it's, you know, they get what I do, and I'd like to get them into it. Not so much like, oh, you're going to be in the family business. I don't care what they do as long as they're happy and they make money. That's all I care about. But like,
right.
I'd like to get them in it as like, you know, a side income.
Yeah.
I mean, cause if they can make, you know, between now and when they're in high school, if they can make 50 grand saved up, I mean, that's totally friggin' possible. Totally possible. So,
oh yeah,
they
absolutely.
Can do
the
side
amazing.
Hustle, and then when they go to college, if that's what they want to do, it all will be paid. And, you know, we've started like 529 in college funds for them anyway. So it's like, I just want my kids to get ahead. That's all I want. I just have them have a head start. And that's, you know, that's why I work so hard, so I can, you know, do that.
Yeah.
So they have that opportunity. But like, you know, if they want to do it, fine, but they don't, I mean, they get it, but they don't have the full extent of what I do. They know, like, are you the Terminator? Like, I've showed my son Terminator 2, and he's like, is that you? He's asked that, but I'm like, no. There's the T-1000 advanced prototype. And he's like, oh, okay. Why does he run so weird? I don't know, dude. That's just the way he does it.
Why?
Why?
Because. Why? Because you can't go around killing people, okay? I already have to go.
John, I have to go to the bathroom, please.
The deleted scenes. I want to see that director's cut.
It was all the deleted scenes where Arnold had to eat and use the restroom. His robot. Again.
John, I have to tinkle.
He's guzzling oil and then draining the oil,
like,
I guess.
Him asking John for like if he can just get like a light snack, maybe some chips or salsa.
Yeah.
John.
And then keep redoing that part with Wolfie. Your foster parents are dead.
I'm right here. I'm fine.
Your foster parents are dead. Look at them. They're on the floor.
Wrong with Wolfie. I hear him barking. Love that part. Wolfie's fine, John. Wolfie's just fine. Where are you?
Oh, shit. They killed him. Oh, no.
I always love that part so much, and take it completely out of context. It's so hilarious to me. Like I always wish they threw in the trailer.
Like,
just your false appearance of dead.
It's actually Arnold doing an impression. Like, holy shit, this guy's got range.
Yeah. You're like, wow.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, well, I'm excited for when your kids grow up for you, so they can, you know, even have a better understanding of what you do and you know, be, you know, really surprised, and when they get to see, you know, that dad does this voice for this commercial or this movie or this game, you know, I think that's going to be a really fun thing for them.
I hope so. I told them, I'm like, listen, dad's going to star in a Pixar movie one day. We're going to be in a theater, well, most likely at home because theaters are probably going away. But, you know, like,
unfortunately,
it's just like, I like, that's my goal. I want to be like the first non like A-list celebrity or actor, whatever you want to call it, to be in a Pixar movie, like the star. I want my name on the DVD case. I want those toys. I just like, it's just such a big goal of mine. Ever since I saw Toy Story, I'm like, I want to do that. Oh my God, I want to do that. It's just one day.
Well, yeah. Well, you just answered our question about, you know, what's your end goal?
Yeah,
and you just did it right there.
Yeah, that is like my big dream. That is my one big dream.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for being on our podcast. Really, really appreciate it. Wish we could talk to you for a couple more hours, but you know, we know you have a family and a life, and so we'll give it another 6 hours and a half, and then we'll be wrapped.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. No, but seriously, thanks for having me, guys. This is a lot of fun. I needed a break from all the crap in the world, so this is great.
And we'll send it to you when it's out, and you can delete it and then block our emails.
Yeah, no, you can. Fuck these guys.
And we'll be outside your house in about 20 minutes.
Honey, there's somebody masturbating in the bushes.
Yeah. Well, who? I mean, that was an incredible interview. We want to thank Joe so much. And real quick, special guest we have to wrap the show up, we have Jeff Goldblum. I mean, we didn't have him for the interview, wild, but we got him for an outro. Jeff, are you there?
Yes. I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on the outro of your show. This is wonderful to hear an interview with an impressionist, of course. But right now we're gonna wrap it up. And of course you're gonna want to go to believe.com. That's BLEAV.com, not to be confused with apartments.com. I don't know why you'd confuse the two. They are nothing alike. But you can rate us. And if you don't rate us, then you have to date us, of course. Isn't that right, Jason?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely correct. And that is a legally binding contract, as we always said, because you listen to the entire podcast. If you don't rate us, you have to date us. So we will assume that you're going to date us, because there's no way you're going to rate us, because most of our audience is extremely too lazy to click that rate button. But if they weren't, well, then you save yourself a grueling evening with us.
Speaking of dates, you know what? The dinosaurs were around a long time ago at a different date and time than we are now. We find their bones in the ground, and people take a toothbrush and they go back and forth, and they reveal their skeletons. Isn't that something?
Jeff, what the hell are you talking about?
That's great. Well, anyway, if you want to follow Joe, you can find him on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search at I Am Joe Gaudette. That's at I Am Joe Gaudette. You can also find him on Cameo by searching his name, Joe Gaudette. That's J-O-E-G-A-U-D-E-T. And of course, you can go to his voiceover website, which is www.joegaudettevo.com. That's Joe Gaudette. VO.com. JoeGaudettevo.com.
Jeff, what the hell are you talking about?
Every time you just go, what the hell are you talking about?